Well, good morning. Good to see you as one community here in person, or if you're in the video overflow, you're still a part of the community. And if you're watching online, you're still a part of our community. We're going to talk in this new series, and I'm so excited about it. We're going to talk about community because we are wired for community. And even though we come from all over the world, we come together in the UAE as a community. And sometimes, if you've lived here a while, you can find yourself surrounded by people, but still longing to connect in a community. We want you to know this is a community for you. You know, I love the fact that we are pulled together and communities are formed by all sorts of different things. Communities are formed around flags, they're formed around currency, they're formed around hobbies. Communities are formed with a special interest. There's something in humanity that is hardwired to connect in a group. In fact, there's a part of your brain that 15 times a second asks the question, two questions. It says, who is my community and what do we value? Who's my community and what do we value? Our brains are hardwired for a community and a connection. In fact, we knew we would be in the book of Matthew a couple months ago, and around November, we landed on this community series, and we were really excited to launch it. And then the excitement for community even grew, because I don't know if you've heard, just recently, in the last couple of weeks, the president of the UAE has declared this year, guess what? This year, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan has declared this year the year of community. That's right. Isn't that awesome? We live in the UAE that values community. We live in an awesome place, don't we? It's awesome that we want to be hand in hand, joining with one another to make this place a better place. And we love the UAE because we come from all over the place. And we here at Fellowship are going to talk about our community here at Fellowship, because our community, there is nothing like this community. Not just Fellowship, I'm talking about the church, about Jesus' community. Because of all the communities out there that you could be a part of, Jesus' community is the best community. Do you believe it? Do you believe that this is indeed the greatest community possible? Yes? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And not just Fellowship. I'm talking about any church. We're going to talk about Jesus' community of his people, because who Jesus is shapes who we become. The person and work of Jesus has a profound impact on our community. Who he is shapes who we become. We're in the book of Matthew, which is a part of the Bible that talks all about Jesus. And the book of Matthew has Jesus at, he gives five talks during Matthew. They're like TED Talks, all right? There's five TED Talks by Jesus, and they're called discourses. Right? Discourse is just a fancy word of saying talk. And these five talks that we're in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about the kingdom of God. He talks about how great it is in the kingdom. And anytime Jesus talks about good news, he talks about the kingdom. It's the reign and rule of Jesus. And he talks about life in the kingdom. And then in Matthew 10, it's the sending out discourse, the talk where Jesus sends out all of his followers to go and share the good news of the kingdom and to perform healings and to invest in their immediate communities. And then in Matthew 13, there's what's called the parabolic discourse. It's a fancy word that just means he tells parables, he tells stories about life in the kingdom. And then we get to where we are today, which is the community discourse in Matthew 18 to 21. And it's a community discourse where Jesus tells his community, he says, guess what? As my tribe, as my people, this is what you are to look like. This is who we are, and this is how we act. So that's what we're going to be spending some time on over the next 9 weeks. And then in the book of Matthew, the Olivet Discourse is the last discourse, which talks about Jesus' final days before his death and resurrection. But we're going to focus on Matthew 18. And when we're in Matthew 18, Jesus is with his closest friends. And he calls his closest friends together, and he's just told them about life in the kingdom and about being great. He's just told them about being great and being a great community. And as he tells them about being great, in Matthew 11, he says this. He talks about how great John the Baptist is. And John the Baptist was considered really great. And he says, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the VVVIP of the era, right? He has VVIP status. He drives up in the Lamborghini and he can park anywhere he wants to, all right? But he says, get this, yet the one who is least in the kingdom is even greater than John the Baptist. So those who are in God's kingdom are even greater than John the Baptist. Ooh, that got the disciples thinking. Jesus' followers started thinking and going, oh, wait a second. Jesus is talking about being great. We have given up everything. They gave up their families. They gave up their jobs. They gave up security, and they're following Jesus. They've invested everything in. They're thinking, oh man, this is about to pay off big time. I can't wait to be great. They're excited. And before we really look down on them too much, we too have that mentality. We can't wait to be great, huh? We want to be great. You make that post online. You're somewhere special and you say, oh, I want this post to be the greatest post of all time. I want this post to go viral with so many likes. I want this to be viral at this picture that I took of my dinner for everybody to see. Or we live in a city of greatness, don't we? This city is one of the greatest cities on the face of this planet. We don't have just a great tower. We have the tallest tower, don't we? We don't just have fast cars. We have some of the fastest cars. We don't have just a water park. We have the biggest water park. We don't have just a hot summer. We have the hottest summer imaginable, right? Right? But see, we live in a city of greatness, and we too can think about becoming great. When you're at work and there's a promotion at work, you're thinking to yourself, ooh, I can't wait to be great. I wonder if I'm up for that promotion. Or you want to be a great father, a great husband, a great employee. Who wants to be a great employee? Just raise your hand if you want to be a great employee, yeah? If your boss is here, make sure to raise your hand, all right? Yeah. Maybe you look at your boss and you think, when you look at your boss, you think, my boss isn't that great. I could be a lot greater than my boss. I should do my boss's job. You ever think about that? Yeah. I saw some people over here go, oh. Yeah, there's something in us that says, I can't wait to be great. Maybe you're here and you want to be great in your home community, and yet people keep asking you to send more and more money back home, and you say, hey, I want to be a great daughter. I want to be a great son. I want to be a great friend or family member. I want to be great and send money back home, but they don't know how expensive life is here, and you might feel torn. Whatever it is, we're wired to want greatness. And we think greatness is found in power and in dominance and kind of climbing our way to the top. And let's look at Matthew 18 at what they say. At Jesus, as he's talking with his disciples, it says that the disciples came into Jesus saying, Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They're saying, Jesus, give me the one or two hacks that I can have because I can't wait to be great. Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus responds, and he put in the midst of them, Jesus says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So he calls to him a child, and he puts the child in the midst of them. Jesus says, get ready, here is the secret sauce of greatness. Behold, a child. Now, before we understand, because we can't wait to be great, and we think that this community, Jesus' church, we think the church is by far the greatest community on the face of the earth. Do you agree? Yes. Do you want to be a great community with Jesus? Okay, so we have to know what this actually means if we're to be like a child, all right? And different cultures over different periods of time view children differently. Have you noticed that? People from all over the world, children were seen as just property before the time of Jesus. Children were just seen as property, and it was tragic because babies were murdered, and it was just atrocious. And then kids were seen as just mini adults, and then they grew to be seen as moral beings that needed guidance and discipline, and then there was a time when they thought they were a blank slate that you can just form them and make them do anything, and then the Industrial Revolution came, and children were seen as cheap labor, and kids have been seen differently throughout all of history and time. Here's our challenge, all right? Our challenge is whatever we think of as a child in our head, that we read that into the Bible as what Jesus meant, instead of understanding what Jesus meant at that time with the kids and reading it out of the Bible and having it shape our minds. And even the way that you raise your kids, if you have kids, you don't raise your kids like you did back home. You have a situation called third culture kids. Your kids aren't local culture. They're not your home culture. They're a blend of culture. And the way that kids are seen is just so different around the world. Some cultures want to cultivate conversation and encourage children to speak up and to engage in adult conversations. And other cultures believe that children should not speak unless they are spoken to. Some children are seen as when you have a group of people, that children need to be disciplined and orderly and respectful. And other cultures see that children should be able to run around and be free and be able to explore. Have you noticed that in small groups, or you get to gatherings and you look over at someone else's kids and you're like, oh, that's not what we do in my culture? Right? Some cultures believe that kids should be able to explore and fail and learn, and you wouldn't want to quench anything or hurt their feelings, and so you need to delay discipline. And other cultures would believe in really tough love, and maybe you grew up that way where if you talked back, you had to go out, get a switch, and then you would be beaten into obedience, right? Like, whatever it is, we view kids differently. So, the purpose of this passage isn't about the kids, it's about how kids are viewed. In Jesus' time, kids are viewed as miniature adults that can contribute little or nothing to society. That's how kids are seen. Kids are seen, if you think about it, if you had a four-year-old can't lift heavy rocks. A four-year-old can't be responsible to herd all of the goats. A four-year-old can't harvest things. A four-year-old can't go get a job. A four-year-old can't. They are completely dependent on the community for provision and protection. I was thinking about calling a four-year-old up on stage, but I didn't want to say, look at this child, behold, they can do nothing. They are valuable, but they can't really contribute to anything we do. Thank you, you can go on. No, that would be crushing, right? But that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, look, this kid right here, this kid can do nothing. This kid is dependent on us for everything, provision and protection. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you try to clamber for this hungry dominance of greatness and you can't wait to be great with hungry dominance over other people and power, Jesus said, that's not what the kingdom is about. The kingdom is about humble dominance, humble dependence instead of hungry dominance. It's this humble dependence on God instead of hungry dominance. That's why we see in verse 2, it says, calling to him as child. He said, we have to become like children. We have to be like this child, humbly dependent on God for all things. And may we as a community be marked by humility. Humility, to be humbly dependent on God for all things. Humility isn't thinking that you are the worst person in the room. Humility is simply a right understanding of who I am. Humility in Jesus' community is a right understanding of who I am, dependent on God for all things. Do you believe it? that we are dependent on God for all things. So take a deep breath, men especially, take a deep breath, say to your neighbor, I am dependent on God for all things, all right? In the chat section, write it out. I am dependent on God for all things, if you're watching live, all right? Because we are dependent on God for how much?
All things.
That's right. That's right. And so we know that pride has no place in this community. There's no place for pride, even though we wrestle with it often, all right? Pride looks like this. Pride looks like someone that says, you know what? What's my best quality? My best quality is that I am very humble. In fact, it's really hard to be humble when you're this good at this many things. All right? Or someone that always tells you, do you have that friend that says, oh yeah, that's a nice story, but let me tell you about how I did it better. Do you have a friend like that? If you don't, you might be that friend, so watch out, okay? Or someone that comes in and says, oh, I deserve this. Because of who I am or my family or whatever, I deserve this. So give me, right? And I've heard of all of these in the church in 25 years of ministry. Or someone that comes up and has this VIP mentality and says, wait a second, don't you know who I am? To which I say, no. Maybe we should say, yes, we know who you are. You are a child of God, dependent on Him on all.